I had a short trip to Georgia. As some of you know that have been around us for a while, every year, the week of Thanksgiving, the Griffin clan, not you guys, although yeah, I'm sure y'all would be welcome, we camp out for a whole week for Thanksgiving. And well, Beth comes on Wednesday night when she comes right before church. She doesn't really like to rough it a whole lot. Yeah, it's a bad setup. There's bunks everywhere, tents everywhere. It's not a lot of showers, two showers. Well, I mean, the girls come too. Anyways, very close quarters. Smelly everybody. So, but it's glorious. We have a wonderful time. And I went up there to start setting up everything on Friday, drove back yesterday. And there's already 30 people there, but there'll be like 100 by Thursday. So, 100 Griffins. And that's small. So, if y'all's clan are, you could just imagine if. Yes. And it's a glorious time, and we worship together and spend time together, and it's good. So this morning, I'm really going to read two verses out of Psalm 100, and then I'm going to share 21 points. Yep. Y'all are laughing. I have 21 points. That sounds like a good reform sermon, doesn't it? Did you faint, Leo? He said 21 points. What? I promise you, I'll get through it quicker than you know. Philip's like, right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I thank you for New Hope. I thank you for the people, the families that you have called here. And Lord, help us as we enter into this holiday season to worship you and to use this season for gospel purposes, that you would help us to, if we need to repent of some things in our lives, please grant that, Lord. Or if we need to reevaluate and change some things, and Lord, help us to get a renewed focus upon you first. And then a renewed focus upon sharing the gospel. Help us, Lord. Do the work in us that brings you the most honor and glory. Grant repentance, change hearts for your sake, for your name's sake, for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Psalm 100. Verse 4 and 5 says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The holiday season is here, it's upon us. It's really starts this coming Thursday, and it's here. My goal and hope every Sunday before Thanksgiving is to help you guys start thinking and are rethinking and getting focused on this time of year. so that we don't squander these opportunities that we have. I implore you, I'm begging you to use this time for gospel purposes. When you look at the holiday season, you really have three avenues to be praying about. First, family and friends. And second, church. And third, the world, if you can label it like that, or the lost or strangers. The first two for us, for me, from our family, is really the same. Our family, our church family, my extended family, our friends. It's one and the same, but I separated it so you could be thinking about it. And if y'all, I'm sure you know this, but family is sometimes, a lot of times, the most or the hardest people to witness to, right? It is the most difficult. I'll tell you this, I have found it very clearly in my life. If I can share with my family, I can share with anybody. And it's the hardest task to have. Not my immediate, I'm not talking about in my home, I'm talking about extended family members. And I want you to use this opportunity. You know, the holiday season, even the world has this image of happy, good tidings, wonderful feelings. You know, they get caught up in all of this, the festive times of year, this year. But I want you to use it for reconciliation and for reaching out and gospel purposes. Use it. Use this as an opportunity. Use this season. You know, some of you may be saying, well, how do we do this? How is this possible? And there's all kind of ways that you can reach out to your friends and families. And some of you may say, well, I'm a widower. I'm a widower. I'm by myself. And what can I do? And you'd be surprised what a letter or letters, cards, a phone call, a text, there's so many social media apps, InstaScam and Slapface and Flip Flop and all that, all those, y'all know that's a joke, right? Everybody's looking at me like, what? I don't even know what they are, but you get it. Use this to reach out. Use this opportunity to reach out and to send a message of thanksgiving, of hope, of your love and care for them. Food, treats, meals, gifts, serving each other, serving a friend, a neighbor, a family member, mission work, you know, doing something for missions around the world. I thought about this, the gift of prayer. You know, from next Sunday, is the first Sunday of Advent to Christmas. There's 28 days this year in Advent. And I started thinking, you know, what if everybody in our church sat down and named one family every day of Advent to pray for? Just our one person. To set aside one day of the whole time of Advent and pray for that person. What a gift that would be to your family and friends. Amen? Now, you can't tell me, and it's sad if you say, well, I don't know if we have 28 people to pray for. That's a sad thing. But just laying aside that time and asking the Lord to do something in their lives, in their family, to help them, to bring the gospel, to think outwardly. Instead of always thinking about yourself and yours, but be thinking about the people around you in this world and stop feeling sorry for yourself. Right? And maybe even be vulnerable wisely. I mean, I'm talking about in prayer and asking the Lord, but maybe seek reconciliation with somebody from your past for gospel purposes, not your purpose. There's a lot of purposes that we have and we manipulate, and you know, but I'm talking about for gospel purposes, to reach out in the world and in your family and with your friends. Use this time and don't waste it. So with this, I started thinking, you know, why are we so timid? And what is there really for us to lose? Right? And I started thinking about that coming up with Thanksgiving and what am I going to share with some of my family members. And I was thinking even this morning, and it just brought me to tears. I was thinking, Lord, the greatest thing I can ask you is from a godly marriage and a Christ-centered home and for my children to be in the Lord. I cannot ask for more than that. There's nothing more that I want on this earth is to see that. And Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful. I'm overwhelmed and I don't want anything else in this world or in this world has. Not health. I mean, death is a gift. You know, not riches. I want a God-centered family and children in the Lord. Amen. That's the greatest desire of my heart. I would like to be a part of a church that loves Jesus more than it loves anything else in this world. That would be glorious. Amen. That's not a slight on you guys or on me, because I still believe you guys would be a lot better church if you had a better pastor. So with all of that, I started thinking about the things to be thankful for. And listen, I wrote this list, I don't even know, long time ago. And I have 21 categories because I could have gone on and on. But so I'm going to just share a few thoughts, okay? And so what I did, I have the scripture. I've written a scripture underneath it because we would be turning in forever. So you can write them down and I'll give them to you. And if you want them later, you can ask and I'll give it to you. So the first thing to be thankful for is for His provision. For His provision. That He has given you all that you have. Do you know that? Everything you have, your children, your marriage, your jobs, your money, your home, everything you own, He has given it to you. It is all His. Did you know that? And do you know that He can take it back anytime He wants? We don't think about that often. But He can take it back anytime He wants. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 says this, "And you shall eat and be satisfied. Then you shall bless Jehovah your God for the good land which He has given you." Point number two, for the ability to give your possessions. So He has given it to you. But have you ever thought for one second, why has He given you this? Why has He given you the marriage that He is, the spouse that He's given you? Why has He given you the children? Why has He given you the home and the resources? Why has He given you this? And I've thought about this passage. It's out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6 through 14. I want to read it to you. It says this. It's interesting. In verse 6, it talks about all the spiritual men. They're gathering together to make a decision. Listen, and the chiefs and the fathers and the rulers of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. And they gave for their service of the house of the Lord 5,000 talents of gold and 10,000 derricks and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of bronze and 100 talents of iron. And he who had pierced stones gave to the treasury of the house of Jehovah. And the people rejoiced because they offered willingly, because with perfect hearts they offered willingly to Jehovah. And the king, King David, also rejoiced with great joy. And David blessed Jehovah before all the congregations. And David said, "Blessed are you, Jehovah, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. O Jehovah, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all in the heavens and in the earth is yours. And yours is the kingdom, O Jehovah. You lift up your head yourself to all and that are heads. And the riches and the honor are from you. And you reign over all. And in your hand is all power and might. And it is your hand that make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer you this so willingly? For all things are from you, and we have given to you that which is yours." So David is basically in this, it's a longer prayer than this, but basically he's acknowledging and he's saying, listen, all these men, all the heads of these tribes and the leaders of the armies and 10,000s and the leaders of fam, they all got together and they decided to give to the Lord. And David's saying, "Lord, thank you that we gave this, but we acknowledge that it's all yours anyways. And thank you for the ability to be able to give what you have given us." Isn't that glorious? So the first point is this: God, thank you for your provision in our lives. Second point is this: God, thank you that we can give, like Blaine said, willingly from what you have given us. Let me tell you, I'll tell you this, in 30 years of ministry, most of the time I've seen this. This isn't foolproof because, of course, God calls people to different places and stages, but most of the time in ministry, the families and the people that I watch that have the most struggles with money are those who hold on the most tightly to their possessions. They see it as theirs and not God's. That's just the truth. It's just a principle to have in your mind. This is not mine, Lord. What do you want? Why do you give this? What do you want us to do? We are to be good stewards of what He's given us. And that includes your marriage. That includes your children, your family. As you are entering this holiday season, He has placed you in the family that you're in for a reason. Isn't that right? You guys did not get to choose the family that you're in. That's just a fact. The truth is, if people really thought biblically, you don't really get to choose the church you're in. Hello? God calls you to a church, and it shouldn't be church membership, it should be church covenant. And you enter into a covenant with each other before God and His people, and you walk in that covenant. But we've got things way... We in America, it's like going down the cereal aisle. You look at thousands of different brands and you go, huh, which one do I like the best? It's gotten real quiet. Point number three, God, thank you for your presence. He has not left us alone. Amen. You are not alone. You are not orphans. You know this verse very well. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, and even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall overcome, cover up me. How many times have you felt like that? Amen. Lord, I'm being covered up here. Even the night shall be like light around me. Yea, the darkness does not hide you. Hide from you. But night shines as the day, as the darkness, so is the light to you. Amen. Point number four, for the goodness and mercies of God. I actually spent hours, so you guys will at least get it a little bit later. I actually spent hours this week on Psalm 136, which is such a beautiful psalm. And I was going to preach that for our Thanksgiving message. As a matter of fact, it's 26 verses. And at the end of every verse in Psalm 136, it ends with, His mercies endure forever. 26 verses, and every verse ends with, His mercies endure forever. His mercies endure forever. His mercies endure for 26 times. It is a glorious psalm. But let me read just the first three to you. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for He is good, for His mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to God, the God of gods, for His mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercies endure forever. Amen. God's goodness and mercies, and it goes through line after line after line, praising God. And listen, some of the lines as you read through there, they're hard. They're rough. His mercies endure forever. Amen? Line upon line. Point number five, for wisdom, for knowledge. In Daniel 2, verse 20 through 23, it says this, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and the secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me now what we ask of You. For You have known, You have now made known to us the king's matters." You know, in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if we lack wisdom, to ask God and He will give it to you liberally. I tell you this, every time we sit down, every time we have a meeting of deacons, I pray this prayer, God, please give us wisdom. We lack it. We need to know what You want, not what we want. Right? He knows all things. And He will give you wisdom. He will give you His wisdom. If you read through this and what Daniel was saying, You know all things, Lord. There's nothing hidden from You. Guys, why do we not run to Him about every decision, right? Everything. Lord, what do I do about this? Lord, what do I do about this? Why is it that we think we know better? And even when we know we don't know better, we still act like we know better. Hello? Because there's a lot of Reformed folks that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom, and we still act like we know better. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for wisdom. And You give it to Your people. That's what that verse means. Point number six. We're flying through this. Like we flew through Isaiah. Right? Point number six, for having Christ as our shepherd. I remember years ago as I was writing this out, I was actually in the book, The Gospel of John, and I remember being so overwhelmed by the thought that Jesus is my shepherd. And thank goodness He leaves the 99 to go get the one. Amen. He's a good shepherd. A good shepherd is what Scripture calls Him. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16 says this. This is one of the great I am statements. I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine. Amen? He knows you. You know, when they would gather all the sheep together in the bins, all the shepherds would put all their sheep in the bin, and in the pen or bins or what, and they would sleep around all the air to protect them at night. And in the morning, when the shepherd would rise, he would call them. He would have a whistle or call or whatever. And the sheep, his sheep, just his, would hear his each shepherd's voice, and they would come to him. How biblical is that? And he would know every one of them as they would come through the gate. There's Jason, and there's Ethan, and there's Kate. And that he would know every one of them by name. I'm sorry, that's inside it. John 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine. And I am known by those who are mine. Even as the Father knows me, I also know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must also lead those, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Point number 7. For being in union with Christ. John 17. We have to go to John 17 for this. Verse 21. That they all may be one. This is part of the high priestly prayer. This is Jesus praying this. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying that we are one with Christ so that the world is able to look at us and know that guy is a believer in Jesus. When's the last time you've been accused of that? Number 8. For conversion, for being justified. John 6, verse 17 and 18. Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. But thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the teachings to which you were delivered. Then being made free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Conversion. Point number 9. Along with that, not just being converted, but we're being delivered from sin. Amen? So not just being justified, but thank God that He doesn't just do this work and leave us to Himself, that we're learning to die to ourselves and die to the flesh more and more and live for Christ. Learning how to do that. So thank the Lord for sanctification, for being delivered. Romans chapter 6 again. We know that our old selves was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be in love or be, I can't even read my own writings, be one. No, that's not what it says. Be in sin. It's Romans 6:6, okay? That we're not bound. We're not in bondage to sin anymore. That you don't have to be bound up and in cage to sin. That you have an opportunity to live for Christ every day. Point number 10. Thank the Lord that everything works together, right? That everything works together for our good. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, years ago, we used to have children's church, and I would bring the kids up, and we would do, this was, oh man, I mean, this was like 25 years ago in Arlington, and I remember doing a chocolate chip thing, and I had all the ingredients of a chocolate chip cookie out, flour and sugar and baking powder and chocolate chips and I can't even remember Crisco. And if you look at all these different ingredients, I was like, kids, all the kids wanted what? The chocolate chips. That's right. And all the kids didn't mind, you know, if they could dip their finger in the sugar, everyone. But nobody, they didn't want to try the flour. I mean, who wants to try flour? Right? Or baking powder. Or all these other when they all come together with the certain measurements, boy, is it good. Now, do you think they all wanted chocolate chip cookies? Yes. And I was like, this is how God works in our lives. He takes all these things, all these in hardships and struggles and pains, and He's going to make you into a chocolate chip cookie. And they were like, but you have to be baked and cooked, and you get it. And whipped. That's right. That's good, Don. Man. Yes, sir. You have to be stirred up, right? Scooped out, put in the oven, baked. But you and I are going to be a chocolate chip cookie. Isn't that wonderful? All things work for the good in our lives, in our lives, in His children's lives. Number 11. For grace that is bestowed on others. I tell you, one of the greatest gifts, and this is the honest truth of being you guys' pastor, is I wish y'all could follow me around in just a day. You would be shocked at how many times, how many messages I get from you guys. Just, hey, pastor, God is so good. Just the blessings of hearing how God is working. You guys are great. Y'all share on Facebook with each other. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it encouraging? I mean, the blessings as I watch God pour out blessings on other people, it's wonderful to me. It's glorious. Let's rejoice together. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says this, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God given you in Christ Jesus. That I can look at you guys and go, man, look at what God is doing in their lives. That's great. Philippians 1, 3, 4, and 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making my request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Colossians 1, 3 through 6, we give thanks to God always, and the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, for which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also come into the world, and it is bearing fruit even among you, since the day you heard it and fully grew and knew the grace of God in truth. I thank God for the blessings that I see in you guys. And I want to hear testimonies of your thanksgiving and your Advent season with your families and with your friends. Let's share in the joy and praise. Let's pray for each other through the difficulties. Point number 12, for the victory over the grave. Death is not the worst thing. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over the sting of death and the power of sin. The victory over the grave. Verse number 13. You know, during the holiday season, it's when we miss people the most. Amen. Our loved ones and friends. And we miss them. But in Christ, we have victory over this. Right? And we can rejoice in this. In missing our loved ones. For the triumph of the gospel, this is another one, that you do know the gospel will prevail, right? The gospel is going to go out to all corners. It's going to go to exactly the people and the persons God is going to send out. It will not be thwarted by any government or any laws or any people. The gospel is all powerful and it's going to do exactly what God calls it to do. The question is, are you going to be a part of it or not? With or without you? He's going to do what he's intended to do. The triumph of the gospel. Let's praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and he reveals through us the odor of the knowledge of him in every place. I chose this passage or this version because of the word odor. I just liked it. Because you give off an odor. And is it a glorious odor? But let me tell you, can I tell you this? The world thinks you and I stink. Isn't that what the gospel, isn't that what the word says? But what kind of odor are you giving off? Is it an odor, an aroma that is pleasing to the Lord, or is it pleasing to the world? Right? For the gift of Jesus. I mean, how can that be 14? But they're not, this is just random thoughts. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. For all things. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. Point number 16. This may be the fastest sermon I've ever preached. And I'm already on 16. What? For all things, for the gift of Jesus, 14. for the triumph of the gospel, 13, for the victory over the grave, 12. What? For all things. Ephesians 5:20, did I not say that? See, you guys are wrong. It was just quick, yeah. Well, I'm trying to, we can drag this out, believe me. We can like do four sermons on this. Five. Okay, 16. Point number 16. You can actually go home today and say, hey, my pastor preached a 21-point sermon. Sonny called me on Thursday and he said, brother, I'm so glad you're coming back but I hate that you're driving up there delivering all this stuff and coming back. I said, Sonny, it's okay. And in my mind, I was thinking, yeah, I've got 21 points to share, but I didn't tell him that. Okay. Am I on 16? Okay. Are you on 16 is the point? Okay. For being part of His church. God, thank you that we have, listen, being part of a church family is a gift. It's a gift. You may not think so, and I may not think so sometimes, but it is the truth. It is a gift to be a part of a church. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. You guys are not alone. We're fellows and citizens together. Amen. If I can use a favorite from Ann Shirley, do y'all know who Ann Shirley is? We are kindred spirits. Right? From Anna Green Gables. All the boys are like, what? He's quoting Anne of Green Gables. We are kindred spirits. And isn't that nice? That we can sit down and fellowship and be together because we're no longer alone in this world. We all get to sit, I was going to say at the cool table together, but none of us are cool. Right? We all get to sit at the nerdy table together and love Jesus together. Amen? All right, 17. For having access to God's throne. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. You know, I tease Kate. Kate's the only one at the house now by herself. And every time I hear, hey, Dad, I tease her about this. I cringe. Because there's no telling what comes after, hey, Dad. It's normally not, hey, Dad, I love you so much. Are you the best dad in the world? It's normally, hey, Dad, and then can I, or can you, or can we, or Dad, shouldn't you, or whatever. There's a request that comes after that. But, you know, when you're just got, when all of them are at home and it's just a constant broad, you just get numb to it. But when there's one, hey, Dad, but you know what? God isn't like that with us. He wants us to come to Him. And as Kate, and sometimes I go, Kate, do you like see what's happening around before you say, hey, Dad? But do you know what? She just busts right up there in the room and is like, hey, Dad! That's what He wants us to do, right? That's what He wants us to do. Come boldly to Him. Hey, Dad. Hey, Father. You know, it's a gift. I should add 22. It's a gift to call Him Father. Abraham didn't call Him Father. Moses didn't call Him Father. Do you know that? But you get to call Him Father because your brother is Jesus. Isn't that glorious? Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. 18. For the effectual working of the Word of God. I love this point. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And for this cause we thank God without ceasing, that when you received the word of hearing of God, you welcomed it as the word of God, not as a word of man, but as it is truly the word of God, which so effectually works in you who believe. Amen. Do you know what that says? Those who truly believe want to hear the Word of God. And it works in their lives. That's glorious. 19. For love towards the body of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, my brothers, as it is right, because of your faith, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of each other, of each one of you, abounds towards one another. Because you grow in Christ, you love each other more and more. Love towards the body of Christ. That's number 19. Number 20. What now? Vow. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. I'm messing with you, Val. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. I'm just thankful somebody feels the need that they can interrupt the sermon and ask questions. Point number 20. For all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. It is the will of God. If we would just take that one verse, Spurgeon says that nothing should come off of your tongue but praises to God. Could you imagine if we lived by that? Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you for that. Point 21. And I did put this one last for a reason. And we have 8 minutes left. Point 21, Revelation 11:17. For Christ reigns is point 21. We thank you, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is coming, because you took your great power and reigned. Amen. Christ reigns. He is on His throne. There's no panic in heaven. God's brow is not wrinkled. No matter what we're facing, no matter what trials we're going through, no matter what struggles you're dealing with, guess what? There's no panic in heaven. Amen? He's working out His plan perfectly. Isn't that glorious? Y'all should be bulletproof. Right? Our God reigns. Use this holiday season. Be thankful. Be grateful. Use it for gospel purposes. I want to encourage you. Listen, be the most thankful people of all your family. Amen? Serve. Serve your friends. Serve your family. Serve. Outserve everybody. Right? Now, I need to hear this for myself, but I'm going to say it for you too. And serve without griping. Serve gratefully, right? We of all people should be the most thankful people. Amen? I challenge you, church. Let's use this holiday season to honor and love Christ most. Amen? Let's do it. We're going to pray, and I'm going to read a benediction, and we're going to close in the doxology, and then we're going to go home. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all of these things and a thousand other things. And Lord, we confess openly, if we lived a thousand lives, we could not express enough thanks and give enough thanks to You. So Lord, help us as we all are getting ready to spend time with family members and friends. And Lord, we're looking at the craziness of this holiday season, and help us to remember and stay gospel focused and use this season for Your honor and glory alone. Alone. I thank You for the families that are here. I thank You for the leaders, the men, the family leaders that are here. Stir in their hearts. Help us to be called to a greater, deeper calling this season, to lead our families, to lead our friends, to love on people that are, frankly, Lord, some people that are very difficult to love. Help us to love them anyways. Not for our sake or our glory, but for Your name's sake. For what You've done in us. In the benediction it says this, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever." And all of God's people said, amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.